If you're going to live in space, you're going to have to build things in space. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. We all had a party on Twitter last week when NASA landed a new probe on Mars. But for people to land or live on Mars, they'll have to survive in a hostile environment where you can't just run to the hardware store for new tools or a new satellite or habitat. So some companies are trying to move manufacturing to space. NASA contracts with one company called Made in Space to 3D print tools on the International Space Station. One day, they may be able to print satellites in space. Andrew Rush is president and CEO of Made in Space. I asked him, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is making stuff in space?
I think on a scale of 1 to 10, 3D printing specifically and in-space manufacturing more broadly is, you know, it's an 11. It's the bedrock technology that lets us go from doing sort of camping trips to space to going and staying.
And I'm sure everybody kind of gets this. The camping analogy is a good one. But why? Why do we need to manufacture in space?
Space is an incredible resource, both from an energy production perspective, as well as from the perspective of being able to manufacture really new and transformational products. You know, a lot of the work that we do at Made in Space is focused on actually manufacturing, assembling satellites in the operational environment of space, rather than building them and then sort of origami folding them up on a satellite and launching that to space. Because there you're designing to sort of like survive the delivery mechanism to space rather than building something to be optimized for where it's actually functioning.
I mean, I would assume just taking the kind of rocket trip off the back end of any manufacturing makes things a lot more affordable, right? Like, is this also more economical, or is 3D printing in space just as expensive as making things on the ground?
So being able to manufacture things in space, we can make things that are 50, 70, 90% less massive. If in the extreme cases where you're, you know, where you're only like a tenth of the mass and, you know, it costs a couple $1,000 a kilogram to send stuff to space, that can be a substantial amount of money that you're saving.
I mean, is this like the fifth industrial revolution? Like, at what scale do you see this eventually stretching out?
I firmly believe that we know that we don't know the breadth and the scope of the impact of really utilizing space. We really don't understand the impact that that's going to have on the U.S. economy and the global economy and our ability as humans to do really cool stuff. I think that this is going to have an impact akin to like the e-commerce revolution on society eventually. That when you start really leveraging this, it's going to have these impacts that we just can't even really identify right now.
Andrew Rush is president and CEO of Made in Space. In-space manufacturing can also, I learned, be used to create better earthbound products. Certain materials are easier to work with in microgravity, like fiber optic cables that can develop flaws in regular gravity. If those cables are built in space and sent back home, they can flawlessly send things like internet transmissions way, way faster. And now for some related links. Here's another fun fact I learned about space manufacturing. Apparently, back in 1973, a General Electric executive told Congress that space manufacturing could be a $2 billion a year market by the 1980s. Sadly, we just didn't go to space often enough or cheaply enough for that to come about. But there's a cool story about the long road to in-space manufacturing on spacenews.com. I put a link on our website, marketplacetech.org. All right, I'll take a break from space for now. Here are some things coming up this week that might make some tech news. Google CEO Sundar Pichai is scheduled to appear before the House Judiciary Committee on Wednesday, where he'll be asked about transparency and bias on the platform and whether Google likes Democrats better than Republicans. Meanwhile, the rest of us will be wondering, hey, Google, can you or can you not build a complete digital replica of me based on the personal data you've collected from everything I've ever done? But hopefully, there will also be questions about the company's plans to build a censored search engine in China that might also give the Chinese government access to people's search histories in that country. There's a good story about that and about how Google has kept its own security and privacy team out of the loop on this so-called Dragonfly project in The Intercept. That link is also on our website. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. Happy Monday, everyone. This is APM. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than just keep us on the air. You help us grow and get better. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you trust, and to make it possible for us to tell the stories of modern life through our digital economy. And when you give today, the impact of your gift will be doubled thanks to our friends at Candida. Donate now at marketplace.org to make your donation go twice as far. And thank you.